The main object study in this talk is going to be inverse limits. We consider our favorite family, the quadratic family, polynomials of the form c squared plus c. And now consider a completely invariant set x of f of x, of c. Then we define the inverse limit of fc restricted to x as the set of backward orbits c1, c2, such that they are related by the dynamics. I'm going to consider the natural topology, which is just the Tikhonov topology coming from the product space of X. The standard example of this inverse limit is the dyadic solenoid. It's just the inverse limit of c squared restricted to the unit circle. I'm just going to mention some of the basic properties of the dyadic solenoid. It's a one-dimensional lamination. It's a compact topological group, and it's also useful to note that the leaf containing the identity is a one-parameter subgroup of the solenoid. Finally, we can put into a one-to-one correspondence the set of periodic points under doubling and the set of periodic leaves. When X is the complex plane, the inverse limit in the complex plane is called the natural extension and will be denoted by NF of C. The quadratic polynomial in X has a natural extension to the inverse limit, just given by the shift defined on every history. And also there is a family of natural projections, Pn, which is just take an history and consider the projection over the n time. So each of these maps semi-conjugates fc to fc, so we have this relationship. And let me just point out that even though the quadratic polynomial is a 2-to-1 map, the natural extension of this quadratic polynomial is a homeomorphism between the corresponding inverse limits. So take an history on the inverse limit. This history is called regular. It exists at neighborhood of the first coordinate, such that you can pull it back along the history, and this pullback is going to be eventually univalent, meaning that at some point there is no critical points in all of these pullbacks. The set of these points is called the regular part in Libish and Minsky paper, and we have the following facts about the regular part. When FC is hyperbolic, the regular part is a Riemann surface lamination, with each of the leaves is conformally equivalent to a plane. It's also results in Libish and Minsky that if you take two parameters that belong to the same hyperbolic component, then the corresponding regular parts are homeomorphic. We have a better statement now by Tomoki Kawahira that in fact these regular spaces are QC equivalent. It is the quasi conformal class of this lamination, the quasi conformal class contains the whole hyperbolic component. So it's the complete hyperbolic component. And just let me make some remark about the complement of the regular part named the irregular points is just a finite set, and this comes from the invariant leaf of the attracting cycles. So if the period of C is n, we will have n plus 1 irregular points. So now I can state the main theorem of this talk. Is if you take any homeomorphism between the regular spaces of two super attracting parameters, then if this homeomorphism is orientation preserving, then C is equal to C prime. If you remove the orientation preserving, you'll get they are just conjugate. The proof will consist in two parts. The first part is just to describe the topology of the regular space and find some invariant under any such a homeomorphism. The second part will be arguing that there is a that if you start with such a homeomorphism, you can improve it to get some specific properties that will get the combinatorics preserved. And by combinatorics, there are several possible models for the quadratic family. All of them are equivalent by drawing a slicer. But I'm going to use the model of Ray portrait in order to describe the combinatorics. So for every parabolic and repeating cycle, you get an associated family of finite subset of the unit circle, A1, A2, An, where each of these sets are the angles of the external rays landing at the periodic point Pi. This family is called the orbit portrait, and the double map permutes the sets Ai and acts in an order preserving way in the angles of each set. Moreover, the union of all of these, the every angle in the union of all of these sets is periodic under the doubling map, and the period of such angle just depends on the cycle. So as a consequence, all of the AI have the same cardinality. We call this cardinality the valence of a periodic point. And the important part of this is that the combinatorics are described by a specific repelling point, which is called the dynamic root point. And this is the unique fixed point in the Julia set that of the first return map of the critical FATU component. It's a theorem by Milner. You can also argue that comes from Guadi and Hobart, that the Ray portrait of the dynamic root cycle determines the parameter C. Okay, so just a matter of examples. Here we have two parameters of the same period. These are parameters on satellite components of period 5. Here are the angles of the corresponding rays. And down here I put the orbit portrait, the corresponding ray portraits. I just want to remark here that given a period, a cycle, no any two ray portraits of the same cycle can be obtained by rotating one to the other. And the reason for that is that there are two segments, the smallest and biggest, which if you fit one into the other, the remaining one is not going to fit. So you cannot rotate this ray portrait. This is something we are going to use at the end of. Okay, so since we have this new dynamical system for the natural extension, we also have some Julia set in this natural extension. And it's going to be just the fiber of the Julia set, the dynamical Julia set, in the inverse limit. So if FC is hyperbolic, then we have these properties of the laminated Julia set. It's a compact subset of the regular part. The Julia set is leaf-wise path connected, and also, as in the direct solenoid case, you can give a one-to-one correspondence with periodic points, with periodic leaves in the inverse limit. So, did I say anything here? Yes. So, basically, we are going to use that it's compact and path connected. You have to work a little bit with they are relatives. So you just need to argue that when you have a periodic leaf, if this periodic leaf doesn't have a periodic point, then you will get some contradiction to the expanding properties of the hyperbolic map. So it just comes from the expansion of the Julia set. Okay, so the regular part for hyperbolic quadratic polynomials is locally compact, and then you can define that one point compactification. And having this one point compactification, we can try to describe the topology at infinity of these inverse limits of the regular space. So we say that a path scales to infinity whenever it eventually leaves every compact set in this regular space. And because we have two structures on every leaf and structures on globally, we're going to deal with two kinds of ends. Both of them are going to be useful. The first one is leaf-wise ends. You forget about everything else in the lamination. Consider one leaf, and then you say that two paths in this leaf belong to the same leaf end. If whenever you cut off some compact set of the leaf in the regular space, then this path eventually belongs to the same path connected component. In contrast, if you consider global ends, you don't need to be on the same leaf. You just can be on the same connected component. So this, you don't need they're kind of a very they are very close in the lamination. Yeah. So one of the main features of this regular space and the laminated Julia set is that local behavior becomes global behavior on leaves. So if you have a periodic point, here I have some list of the dynamic groups for the rabbit and the airplane, then you just take some local picture of the corresponding dynamic root point, and then the number of ends are going to be just the number of paths that you see when you remove the Julia set, the unbounded components of when you remove the Julia set. In this case, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The white parts are just list of the critical Fatou components. Each one of them are going to be unbounded. And well, here you have some ends that are associated to infinity, and some other end that is associated irregular point in the critical orbit. So it's worth notice that again the structure of the leaves containing the list of the dynamic loop cycle is special in the sense that all other repelling points only have access to infinity. There are no if you have more than six access to sieve, more than three ends at infinity, then you will have only access to infinity. For every quadratic polynomial, at least there is one leaf named the leaf that is the leaf of the beta fixed point, which is only connected to the end at infinity. So you can see that almost all leaves either have one or two leafwise ends, meaning that you can always go escape to infinity in two possible ways at most. And the exceptional cases are periodic leaves associated to repelling periodic points whose valence is more than three, or the dynamic root point. Now we have this lemma that because of the leaves of the dynamic root have this special behavior that connects several ends, then any homomorphism between the regular spaces is going to send the leaf containing the dynamic root cycle into the leaf containing the dynamic root cycle. And this is our first invariant that we get for such homomorphism. So now take any homomorphism as above, then because of you can say that the leafwise ends and global ends corresponds precisely to the irregular points at infinity. So every homomorphism can be extended to a homomorphism of the complete natural extension. Now you contain irregular points. And because it's going to send ends to ends, it's going to send irregular points into irregular points. And since we have the irregular points are the number of irregular points is just n plus 1 when n is the period, then C and C prime must have the same period. And moreover, since there are leaves that only connect, the only way to escape to infinity is through the point at the leaf of the infinity, then any such homomorphism must fix the point at infinity. So there are a lot of leaves that only connect. Well, there is at least one leaf here. The leaf containing the leaf of the beta fixed point that only connects to. So the only way to escape from infinity in this leaf is to infinity. The only way to escape from this leaf is to the irregular point at infinity. So that means that the point at infinity in the natural extension becomes a disconnectivity point of the natural extension. And is the only disconnectivity point of the natural extension. So it must be fixed, or it must be consent under this homomorphism. So, we lost the sound. Okay, so these are all the invariants we can extract just by looking at the topology of the irregular, of the regular part. Now we are going to try to improve these homomorphisms to a set, to some homomorphisms that have some prescribed properties. In order to do that, I'm going to restrict my attention to some piece of this regular part. Let me define a closed solenoidal cone in the space of homomorphisms. Closed solenoidal cone is just any space that is homomorphic to the inverse limit of phi square restricted to the base not infinity, including the Julia set. In particular, I will denote this solenoidal cone by the cone over S1. This is a consequence of vector coordinate that the lift of the basin of infinity is homomorphic to an open solenoidal cone. And I will call this solenoidal cone the solenoidal cone at infinity. The vertex of this cone is just the lift of infinity. And because of this lemma, the point, we know that the point of infinity is going to be send the point to infinity. So in some sense, these homomorphisms have to preserve or send some piece of the solenoidal cone at infinity into the corresponding solenoidal cone of infinity of the other regular part. Now, pick some number r, and take the disk. Take the disk of radius r. Then there is a canonical homomorphism between the inverse limit with coordinates in, starting in c minus dr onto this solenoid. This the product of the direct solenoid times 0, 1, given by this map. You take any backward image, quotient by the norm of this history, and then take the product over R. This homomorphism can be extended to the infinity. So we have that the inverse limit of every the inverse limit of c square outside any disk of radius r is also isomorphic to a solenoidal cone. This is important for us because when you take an equipotential in the dynamical plane, now with for the polynomial map FC, then the lift of the outside of the equipotential RER is also homomorphic to a solenoidal cone. And in particular, the fiber over every equipotential is again homomorphic to a solenoidal cone. And above, we have a canonical homomorphism between any equipotential and the dyadic solenoid. So we call any fiber of the equipotential at solenoidal equipotential and denoted by SR. So notice that solenoidal equipotentials are going to define a foliation in the solenoidal cone at infinity. And for each solenoidal equipotential, we can define a local base of neighborhoods around infinity. So what I want to say is that we will have such a picture. There is our homomorphism H tilde, now it's extended to the natural extension. And because this foliation of solenoid of is defines a local basis of deployment at infinity, you can find some solenoidal equipotential in the left and trap it between two solenoidal the image and trap the image under H tilde between two solenoidal equipotentials in the right. So if you forget about what's going on at infinity, we'll have such a picture. Is the embedding of a solenoid, a dielectric solenoid, into the cylinder of the dielectric solenoid. This is just like an embedding of a curve, simple curve, into an annulus. And there is a classical theorem in topology that says that if you have an embedding of a circle into the annulus, you can always find an isotopy such that sends this circle into the core of this annulus. So we can extend this classical theorem from topology to this setting, meaning that you can find that isotopy of this map of this cylinder such that the image of the solenoidal equipotential is again a solenoidal equipotential. So now we have this picture. We have an improved map H prime tilde such that the solenoidal equipotential there exists a solenoidal equipotential such that the image maps homomorphically to another solenoidal equipotential. And now I can't go on foot here. So yes. So what do we have? Our solenoidal cone at infinity. We know that there is a solenoidal equipotential, which is mapped homomorphically into another solenoidal equipotential here. Now, each of these solenoids, so that means that we can just think of the restriction of this map H prime into the solenoidal equipotential, and under the canonical identification of this solenoidal equipotential with the dielectric solenoid, we have an induced map from the dielectric solenoid into a dielectric solenoid, which is a homomorphism. Then I'm going to use a theorem by Quapish. It says that every homomorphism S1 into S1 is isotopic to a map of the form say some translation times F and where this tau is an element in S1 and this just denotes the multiplication coordinate, multiplication between elements. So we have tau multiplied by F naught C on C hat is just, say, I don't know, so tau 1 Fn C naught tau 2 Fn C1 and so on. So there is this element which is at, which just, it just means that it's just a shifting, some shuffle of the leaves of the direct solenoid plus some translation. Okay, but what do we have here? H tilde prime must send. So from here, H tilde prime is isotopic to a map of this form. So we can take say H tilde prime composed with F hat minus 1, and this map is going to be then isotopic to a pure translation. So meaning that sends any point in the solenoid to tau times theta hat. Here? Minus n, yes, minus n. So this implies that there's some kind of degree involved on the map. So every homomorphism between the solenoid, there is some iteration of F hat naught, which describe this homomorphism. But since this is a homomorphism, I just can't correct it, and we'll get a pure translation of this map. Okay? So, and we know from before that most sense the lift of the dynamic root point. Send the leaves containing the dynamic root point. The cycle into the corresponding ones. The leaves. Let me just concentrate on these leaves and see what we can get. So I'm going to put again the leaf of the rabbit. Something here. And from the part that corresponds to the end at infinity, there is this solenoid ellipse that under the map H tilde I sent. Into a similar picture here. And there are some leaves of the Southern Valley could potential going here. Now, because of each of these leaves contains the dynamic root cycle, these leaves are periodic, and therefore each of these leaves in the Southern Valley could potential are also periodic. So there is some leaf of the external ray here, and when I identified the solenoid liquid potential with the dielectric solenoid, each of these points is going to be periodic. And over here, we also have the corresponding picture, but we don't know that this point must be sent into a periodic point. So the image of this periodic, the image of this periodic point here may be in one of the leaves here. So now let me try. So I just consider one of these and use the one parameter subgroup of the solenoid in order to make another isotopy of the solenoid equipotential that sends the image of this periodic point into the image of this periodic point. So then I will get yet another improvement, S' tilde. Such that restricted in this green solenoid, in this solenoid cone at infinity, maps some periodic point theta n into some periodic point theta prime. But because of that Quattish theorem, we know that this is a pure translation. So theta hat times some translation is equal to theta hat prime. But if a translation sends a periodic point into a periodic point, it's because this translation itself, this element, tau, must be periodic. Now, as I said in the beginning, there is a one-to-one correspondence between periodic points in the dielectric solenoid and periodic points on the doubling. So, in fact, when you get periodic points in the dielectric solenoid, you only need to get what is going on the first coordinate. Periodic points are completely determined by what's going on in the first coordinate. So, you can project and because of this tau now is periodic, then immediately all of the other points are going to be fixed, because periodic points must be two periodic points. In this leaf there is only one periodic point, so the image of this white point must be over here. So they are kind of arranged. And then, if we take the first coordinate, this white point, what we are going to get in the unit circle is just the corresponding ray portraits, the corresponding ray portraits of these periodic external rays. Now, then this translation here just becomes a rotation in the unit circle, and I said also that two ray portraits are determined. No two ray portraits are a rotation of the other. So that means that these two ray portraits, which corresponds to the dynamic root cycle, must be the same. And then that completes the proof that the parameters must be the same.